The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Sheila Walsh encourages us to trust God even when we don't get the results we prayed for.
Sometimes, honestly, we don't get the breakthrough. Families pray fervently, gather prayer warriors, and don't get the answer they long for. In those heartbreaking times, we hold on to the goodness of God, even when we don't understand the ways of God. Hi, I'm Sheila Walsh. Welcome to Life Today. The other night, I think it was Sunday night, I was doing a Facebook Live and I was talking about prayer. I was talking about how important prayer is in our lives. And afterwards, I was reading all the comments that those who'd been part of it posted on my page. And there was a comment that seemed to occur over and over again. And it was kind of a question. And maybe it's a question you've asked. You know, I've been praying and praying and praying, and I don't see any change. So how do you keep praying when you desperately need a breakthrough, but you don't see it coming? So let me just ask you, like, today, do you need a breakthrough in your life? I read a quote from a guy called John Bloom, and I loved it. He said, so if you're praying for a breakthrough and not seeing it, and in fact, experiencing more temptations to discouragement, frustration, weariness, doubt, and cynicism than before, do not give up. Increasingly intense fighting always precedes strategic breakthroughs. I love that. You know, there are times in life when everything goes wrong and we desperately need a breakthrough. You might be in a place like that right now, where you're struggling to hold on to your marriage with everything you've got. Or maybe you have a child who's wandered away from their faith. That's so painful. I got a letter the other day from a woman whose child is addicted to drugs, and sometimes she doesn't even know where he is. Or it may be your own health that concerns you. You've been given a diagnosis that honestly feels overwhelming. In each one of those situations, or whatever else you might be facing, one thing is clear. You need a breakthrough from God. Have you ever been in a place where that's exactly what you need? Even as I read a few of those things, you said, yeah, that's me. You need a way through what's in front of you, for all you can see right now is a wall. So how do you pray when you need a breakthrough? You know, I believe when we're asking God for breakthrough, what we're actually praying for is for heaven to invade earth. We're asking God to deliver us because we can't deliver ourselves. It's clear to us in those situations that only God can bring the breakthrough we need. Now, if you've been praying for a while, I want to encourage you to keep going, to keep asking, to keep knocking, because God is listening. You know, I've experienced that so many times in my own life. When I was a student in seminary, I went through a few months when life felt just overwhelming. I'd gone to seminary because I thought that God wanted me to be a missionary in India. But the more I prayed about that, the less sure I was. I remember thinking, what if I'm not even supposed to be here? What if I got it all wrong and everyone else will graduate knowing exactly where they're going and I don't have a clue? Well, that continued for months and actually into the second and third year. As graduation day grew closer, every morning I would go for a walk through the woods near my dorm before classes began, and I would beg God to show me what to do. And each night, you know, I'd kneel by my bed in tears, asking God for help. Honestly, I felt like a failure. I wanted to serve God with my whole life, but I didn't know what that would look like. You know, sometimes, and I'm sure this was the enemy, but sometimes I'd think about my past, about where I'd come from, and wonder if that was what was wrong. Would God choose someone whose father had committed suicide? Perhaps my dad's death had been my fault after all. and all the other students looked much more worthy to serve God than me. Honestly, I felt damaged. I prayed, and I wept, and I prayed some more. One morning, my reading for that day was from Isaiah chapter 43, and this is what I read. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That, yeah, obviously, I thought that was a beautiful promise, but I didn't apply it to my own life or my own situation. But in chapel later that day, our professor preached from the exact same passage. So I underlined it in my Bible and went off to my class. Well, that night, as I knelt by my bed, I asked God one more time for a breakthrough. Father, if you would just speak to me, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I just need to know that you're with me. Well, I was about to turn my lamp off when there was a gentle knock on my door, and it was pretty strict in the seminary I was in, and it was past lights out, and I knew that we weren't supposed to be in one another's rooms after that. But I slipped out of bed and saw that an envelope had been pushed under my door. So I picked it up and I opened it. Inside was a message from one of my friends and a folded piece of paper. The note said that she'd been trying to track me down all day because God had given her a message for me. So I unfolded the sheet of paper. And there in her handwriting was this message from God. Remember not the former things. Now consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I mean, for me, that was a beautiful breakthrough. I still didn't know where I would go upon graduation, but I knew that God was saying, trust me, I have a plan. I'm doing something new. You know, sometimes prayer, when we pray for a breakthrough, it comes quickly. And other times we have to wait. God's word is full of breakthroughs. But one of the most dramatic took place in the life of someone we meet in the Old Testament. His name is Daniel. And we meet him when life for God's chosen people, really, things were at their worst. When Daniel was about 15, he's just a teenage boy, he was among the vast crowds of Israelites taken into captivity in Babylon. It was a catastrophic time. They had been warned over and over again through the prophets what would happen if they didn't repent and turn back to God, but they ignored every warning. Well, now Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed, and the people were living in a pagan land, ordered to bow down to pagan gods. I love what Warren Wiersbe writes. He said, God would rather have his people living in shameful captivity in a pagan land than living like pagans in the Holy Land and disgracing his name. Well, this teenage boy, Daniel, proved himself to be a godly man no matter where he lived. As he grew, he was given a place of honor in the palace, which did not sit well with others in authority. They were determined to get rid of Daniel. But King Darius loved and respected Daniel, but he'd been tricked into signing a decree that if anyone prayed to any god apart from the king for the following 30 days, he would be thrown into a lion's den. Well, those in high office who didn't like Daniel knew that he prayed to the Lord three times a day. And when they reported that Daniel had been seen praying, his fate was sealed. Here's what's deeply moving to me, is that Daniel's prayers were never hidden. People knew that Daniel prayed to his God. His windows faced toward the ruins of Jerusalem. And three times a day, Daniel threw open those windows and got down on his knees to pray. Now, Daniel knew about the decree. He knew that to continue to pray put his life on the line. And he prayed anyway. Well, the king was distraught when those who hated Daniel reported he'd been caught praying, but he couldn't go back on a signed decree. In those days, a signed decree by a king was irrevocable. His last words to Daniel before he was taken off to be torn apart were these. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." So they threw Daniel into the pit or cave, and the entrance was sealed with the king's royal seal so that no one could break in and rescue him. If anyone had ever needed a breakthrough, it was Daniel. I've often wondered what that night was like. You know, we read that angels were sent to seal the mouths of the lions. Well, that's a pretty spectacular breakthrough. In the morning, the king, who hadn't been able to sleep all night, hurried down to the den. And before he had the heart to have the seal broken, he called out to Daniel. This is what he said, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I've not wronged you, your majesty." Well, the king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. There are miraculous stories of deliverance throughout the Bible. Here, Daniel had an immediate answer, but sometimes, like you and like me, he had to wait. Later on, we read that Daniel is now 85 years old. Now, the previous year, 50,000 Jews had been allowed to go back to Jerusalem and begin to rebuild the temple. Now, being part of the royal court, Daniel would get regular updates, and he knew things were not going well. The foundations of the temple had been laid, but there'd been so much opposition, you can actually read about that in Ezra chapter 4, that everything had ground to a halt. Daniel was grieved that the work had stopped. What he didn't understand was that the 16-year delay was part of God's plan and the fulfillment of his promise to Jeremiah. Do you remember this well-loved verse? "For I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." We all know that, Jeremiah 29:11. We love the hope of that verse. But this is what the verse before it says. This is what the Lord says. "You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I've promised, and I will bring you home again." But at this point, Daniel can't see the whole plan, so he's grieved and he's praying. This is actually where we get the Daniel fast from. "At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over." So for 3 weeks, Daniel prayed for a breakthrough, and it seemed as if no breakthrough was coming. Then one day, when Daniel was standing on the banks of the Tigris River, an angel appeared to him. I can't imagine what that sight must have been like. It must have been magnificent for Daniel, the one who has faced lions, fainted. The angel touched him and said this, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I've come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." It's important to remember that when we are praying for a breakthrough, God sends his holy ambassadors to do battles, not just for Daniel back then, to do battle for you and for me. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Sometimes, honestly, we don't get the breakthrough. Families pray fervently, gather prayer warriors, and don't get the answer they long for. In those heartbreaking times, we hold on to the goodness of God, even when we don't understand the ways of God. If you've been there, if you're there right now, I want you to know it has nothing to do with how you prayed, how often you prayed, how desperately you prayed. One day, When you see Jesus face to face, all the questions will be gone. Until then, don't allow the enemy or even a well-meaning friend to suggest that somehow you failed. God has a plan that is way bigger than our understanding, and He has promised to bring good from everything that happens to you. Not that everything is good, not that everything feels good, but that He will bring good to those who love Him. God has a unique purpose for your life and the lives of those you love. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Sometimes a breakthrough is like that. Sometimes it's delayed. And honestly, sometimes we don't see the breakthrough that we ask for at all. I wonder in those dark times if the breakthrough God is looking for is maybe a breakthrough in us. Perhaps that is the most significant breakthrough of all. I mean, I think of Moses. Ever since the children of Israel had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, they had done nothing but complain. While Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments, the people were partying below, making idols out of gold. God is done with them. He says to Moses, "Get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go up to the land I swore to give to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I will give this land to your descendants. Go up into this land that flows with milk and honey. But I will not travel with you, for you're a rebellious and stubborn people." How will Moses and the people respond to this offer from God? Think about it. God is saying, I'll give you everything, all the things I promised. You can have the land promised to Abram, flowing with milk and honey. There's just one catch. God won't be going with them. How would you answer? If God said to you right now, I'll answer every single prayer, give you the child, the husband, the career you've asked for. The only difference is that my presence won't be with you. My presence won't be with you. How would you respond? My prayer is that you and I will respond as Moses did. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. I love his response. He's saying, I would rather wander around in the wilderness forever with you than move on without you. That's my response to you. Everything, everything without God is nothing. Nothing with God is everything. When you finally get to that place, what freedom, what victory, that is spiritual breakthrough. One of the things I want to ask you to do in a few moments is I want you to help us here at Life Today bring real significant breakthrough for some people who are in, if not a literal prison, but in a prison that seems far darker, far, far, far more bleak. There's some people at the moment who have been praying perhaps for years that someone would hear their prayer, that someone would come and help them. And the amazing, great news is you and I get to be an answer to this prayer. They've wondered, will anyone ever come? Does anyone ever know where I am? And we want to say yes, and we're coming in Jesus' name. Would you please watch this?
Sex trafficking is the worst kind of prison that I've ever seen. I've been in maximum security prisons. I've talked to women on death row. There is a worse kind of prison than that, and that's sex trafficking, because it is pure evil.
ตะกะเมลอมโยเมกะไนกะเมลอมโยคะโซไลเปกลาตะกะเมลอมโยโจตอเปนจัตกะทาออยกะไกทาออยเปกลาตะโจคิยอมานลอยจามอวนกอยเมเกกิโฮปออยอืมมอเลบาริอาเดเคกะเรบานิมัตเตดีดิจะเซเบนโคจุงวะเนรบันดาเฮริซับไบจานะมอเลปีดนะลายอาย फिर आए दिन तो मारे के हो दिया दो तीन बार से बंद होते फिर ही खोल दी थी मैंने
We will rise up and we will change this and we will do it because think, I mean, our whole thing here at Life is reach, rescue, restore. Reach her and let her know, you know what, hey, there's a better way for you to live your life. You don't have to do this. Rescue. Go into these horrible bars and clubs and brothels and rescue these girls. And then restore them. Bring them to a place where they can learn their value in Christ. The value that God places on their life is not diminished by what they have to do every night. And because of that, we get to tell them, you are not a number. We will step in, we will say, let us be your spiritual mom and dad. Let us be your big sister in Christ. Let us be the ones who come and fight for you because you are worth fighting for.
Can you imagine that? Just a little girl and having to be beaten if she doesn't do what she's told, locked in a room with a guard who allows different men in. I mean, when I was that age, I was playing with Barbie dolls and wanting a puppy. That's all I wanted in life. And these are innocent, beautiful children, and they get tricked into it. You know, some of you have written on my page and asked me, well, how do these girls get involved in that? And why don't they just leave? And I understand the questions, but it's so much more complicated. So often a girl stays because she's got a younger sister and or a sister who's even younger than that, maybe two or three. And the traffickers tell her, if you don't do what we've told you to do, you know, we will go, we know where you live. We will go and get your sister. And when they don't do the things, and they're supposed to look like they're happy to be there, and when they don't do that, then they're beaten. One girl took her shirt off and showed me the marks on her back where she had been beaten. Let me tell you what you and I have the privilege of doing. This is Psalm 10, verses 17 and 18. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you hear the cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed, so mere people can no longer terrify them, because that's what's happening. These little ones are terrified, but you and I have the privilege of rescuing them. What we do here at Life, it's a very calculated, a very thought out, prayed out method. We go into the villages before predators ever get to them, and we tell these girls, listen, if someone shows up and says these kind of things to you, run, scream as loudly as you can, because honestly, our number one prayer is to reach these kids before they're ever trafficked. But once they are in that terrible situation, then we go in with our teams on the ground who are amazing. I mean, when you see SWAT teams who love Jesus praying before they go in and then breaking down these doors and rescuing these girls. And then there's beautiful places where we can take them, where their life can be restored. But we need you to help us. Some amazing people have been very moved by this particular mission. And they've said, listen, we will put up $250,000. So we will literally match what people give. It used to take us $128 to be able to begin that process of reaching, rescuing, and restoring. But now for 64, they'll match it with their 64, and you will be able to see one girl begin that process of been taking out this devastating lifestyle. If you're able to give 128, instead of reaching, rescuing, or restoring one girl, you will now do it for two. So please, will you go to your phone? Will you give the very best gift possible? And honestly, when you do for any gift, we're going to send you this little bracelet made by one of the girls rescued from trafficking as a gift to say to you, thank you, thank you. So please, go to your phone. Make the best gift possible.
Behind the bright lights, there is a darkness where a world of innocence is lost and abuse runs rampant, scarring the souls of children with no one and nowhere to turn for help. With bodies broken and hopes crushed, these young victims are trapped in a never-ending nightmare. Today, you can shine the light of God's love in this dark world to reach, rescue, and restore these young ones to the life God designed for them to live. With a generous $250,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift, we'll send you this beautiful freedom bracelet, handcrafted by survivors of human trafficking who want to say thank you for helping those still trapped. Wear it as a wonderful reminder to pray for the outreach. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Freedom Tote. This quality canvas tote bag is made by trafficked survivors who are now learning a new trade and includes spiritual life resources such as books, devotionals, CDs, or DVDs. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request our beautiful new bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
The situation here, you can probably tell by my circumstances, there is abject poverty. And the people who are using and trafficking these little girls are very organized, they are very well-financed, they know what they are doing. I asked one of the girls, have you thought of just trying to escape? And her thing is, if I try and escape, they will come after my parents because my parents are so poor. My parents are desperate. They have no money, and so I'm forced into this life. But you and I can do something. So what I'm asking you to do, would you let these little girls here who think nobody cares about them know there is a God in heaven who knows their name and who loves them, but he has a people who are committed to reaching out. So please, go to your phone, go online, make the very best gift possible, and let's bring life to these trapped, beautiful little girls. Thank you so much. And if you're able to give $128, which will now, you know, begin that process of reaching, rescuing, restoring, it'll now not just do one girl, do two. And we will send you this beautiful tote they made. And we have some things in here, some resources from life that I know you will love. If you would like to get my book on how to become relentless in your prayer, how to pray for a breakthrough, we'll love to send that to you as well. We have a beautiful bronze for $1,280. It's called A Mother's Strength, something to put up and remind you of the work that you are helping us do. I know you don't do it for the gifts. It's just our way of saying thank you. If you didn't get through, please call. I'm Sheila Walsh. I'll see you next time on Life Today.
God always wants to do a new thing inside of us, and God always wants to give us a new name.
Esther Fleece Allen, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.